We're making our way into verse number 7. We know that Jesus now is at a well, and there's water there. And he's weary, and we are going to pick up the reading at verse number 7 and make some headway. John chapter 4, verse number 7, the Bible says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." And so Jesus didn't need to go to Samaria to find water. I'm pretty sure water was available in other places. But he needed to meet a woman at a well who was drawing water. And so this is a common everyday situation, especially for that time. And Jesus is initiating a conversation that most would have avoided. Now, I like using Bible phrases and Bible words. I don't think it's wrong if you don't use a Bible phrase or a Bible word. But the reason why most people, and I would say even Jesus is a man approaching a woman at a well. Now, it was a public well, but a lot of people will use the excuse, well, I just want to stay above reproach, which isn't a Bible phrase. You don't find above reproach in the Bible. It's not there. I know what you mean. You want to stay blameless, and that's talking about church leadership, and you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you could be accused of something. Now, you tell me that Jesus at that well doesn't give you some real good insight to being careful about not doing what God asks us to do to stay above reproach. Should our lives remain blameless? Yes. But I know a verse that says we are suffering reproach because we trust in the living God. And you see, we don't want to suffer that reproach, so no one wanted to approach this woman. She had problems. Nobody wanted to be associated with her. Man, if you're hanging out with that woman, you know what they would say about you. I'm not going near her. But Jesus did. Now, that's something to struggle with. That's something to wrestle over. I know a verse that says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. I know that verse in Hebrews. Well, I'll eat it. What people will say about me, I'll eat it. I know it's not true. The Lord knows it's not true. But man, he goes to this woman. Ladies, don't tell me you're not thinking in your head right now, I'd be upset if my husband went there. Because you're going to go to the village, you're going to buy some groceries, and the next thing you know, someone's going to say something. Hey, did you hear where her husband went? Do you know what he did? Come on, ladies. You know that thought would cross your mind. I'm not saying you're wrong for having that thought cross your mind. I'm just telling you, that's how carnal man thinks. By the way, you can try to live a life above reproach. I don't have a problem with you using that word. I've used it. And people will still accuse you of things that you never thought about and never did. You might as well just get comfortable living in the will of God. But that is if you think about it, that's a strange scene for people to see. And look at verse number 8. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. In John 6, Jesus is going to feed 5,000 people because there's a need. In Exodus, he makes water come out of a rock so that the Israelites don't die. And Jesus is out in the sea, and the disciples are afraid that the water, they're going to drown because the waves are too much, and they're going to die. And what does Jesus say to that water? Peace be still. So I'm pretty certain that Jesus, standing over that well, I'm pretty certain that Jesus could have just said, water, come forth. And it'd be over in a couple of seconds. I believe Jesus could have done that. But he tells the disciples, I want you fellows to go to the city and buy some food. I want you to go to the city grocery store. Because Jesus isn't and never performed miracles for self-satisfaction or for just self-grandiose. That's not why he performed the miracles. It was always when there was a need, and it was always where God the Father would be glorified. And we have problems today because people like Jesus to do a miracle in their life, but they don't want to do what Jesus tells them to do. Go buy some groceries. So ladies, you cannot be submissive to your husband, and you cannot have any desire to want to spend time with your kids. And then when a decade passes by, you can get on your knees and pray for a miracle. But God's not going to give you a miracle when you've disobeyed for 10 years what He's asked you to do. We get ourselves in situations, gentlemen, if you're not, look, if a man isn't going to go to work and he's going to sit on the couch and he's going to be lazy and he's not going to do anything, he's going to treat his wife harshly, he's not going to spend any time with his kids, and then in 10 years, he's going to get on his knees and he's going to ask God for a miracle. You know why people do that? Because they want the miracles of Jesus. They don't want Jesus telling them what to do. And until we get comfortable with Jesus actually telling us what to do, and He is the one that's in control and guiding our lives, we can pray for miracles all we want. There's not a need. The need is for us to obey the Lord and do what He asks us to do. If you're out of shape and you don't care about your physical health, you can take advice from Will and Kimmy for 10 years, and they can tell you how to eat right, how to exercise, and you can listen to that for 10 years and do nothing with it. And then when you have all of these physical problems, you can then ask him to pray. You can then ask them to pray with you that God would send a miracle and heal your body, but you've abused it for 10 years. It makes sense? Jesus tells the disciples to go into the city and get some groceries because he's not going to just start performing miracles. He wants his disciples, like he wants all of us, to follow his commands. Wherever you lead, I'll follow, Lord. Here's the question on verse 8. Do we want Jesus to make our life easier? Do we want Jesus' miracles, or do we want the miracle worker? It'd have been a whole lot easier. Jesus, can't you just call up water, make some food, and we just kind of call it a day? But he wasn't going to make their life easier. And he doesn't want to make your life easier. He wants to make your life in line with his will. Look at verse 9. She's really struggling, this woman. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now the Jews, they're supposed to be a blessing to the people. Instead, Israel turned God's blessings into idolatry. They twisted God's purposes, and they would use the law to just dominate people, control people, force people to. And that wasn't from God. And so they get to a point, they don't want to have any dealings with the Samaritans at all. Verse number 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, because he's not ashamed to be with her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Living water isn't something that keeps you alive, by the way. Living water is something that makes you alive. The truth shall make you free. And the water that he's talking about is water that saves, it's water that satisfies, it's not a drink for physical refreshment, it's a drink for spiritual regeneration. That's what he offered this woman. But notice what happens in this verse, or in this section here, in verse number 9. What card does this woman throw? You're going down the right road. Watch. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, verse number 9, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? You know what she does? She throws down the race card. I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew. Let's talk about race. Why are you here? Jesus ignores the race card and he throws down the living water card. Because race isn't the issue. Jesus Christ is the issue. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He said, look, I'm here. I want to give you living water. Anytime somebody tries to make the issue race or anything other than Christ, we've got to bring the issue back to Jesus Christ. He's the one that offers the living waters. People talk about politics. People talk about race. People talk about social class. Because they don't want to come face to face with Jesus Christ and Him dealing with their issues of sin. And so he just completely talks right over that race card, and he gets down to the issue. You know what Pilate asked the multitude? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What did the multitude say? Crucify him. Crucify him. You know what we're looking for people to say? Let him be my Lord. Let him be my Savior. Let him be my living water. Because neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You got... David works on a construction site. We're in the middle of a heat wave. So he's going to go to work tomorrow. He's going to say, whew, I'll tell you what, fellas. It sure is hot out here. Man, it's hot. And his workmates say to him, now, I know. I mean, you can get dehydrated real quick out here. And David responds back and he says, yeah, oh, I know. Hey, have you ever drank eternal life? Have you ever drank living water? Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm hot out here. I'm dehydrated. Let's get some physical water. That's essentially what Jesus did with this woman. She's thinking physical water. He's thinking spiritual water. Look at verse number 10. What else it says? Jesus says, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee. So he gets right to the point. Hey, do you know who I am? Because if this woman knew who Jesus was, she would quickly have responded with, can I have that living water? But she doesn't respond that way. I mean, who goes up to a strange man anyway and says, hey, will you give me living water? Nobody does. So Jesus is there and he's initiating this conversation, but there's something very... Jesus just has a way with showing people that they don't really know as much as they think they know, or he reveals to them things that they really should have known. And when we get away from God, we sometimes forget the things that we should have known. And then when we're reminded of it, we're like, man, you know, that's simple. Duh. I should have had that. Now, why do I say that in light of this verse? If you go back to Jeremiah, we'll get a little help. Look at Jeremiah 2. Jeremiah chapter number 2 and verse number 9. Jeremiah 2 verse number 9. Bible says, wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, this is the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. So he's pleading with the children of Israel. And then the prophet says in verse number 11, hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, and be very desolate, saith the Lord. The children of Israel, they've changed and made, they've just made up gods. And the prophet is letting them have it. And he says, here's what the Lord said. Verse number 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Not only have the children of Israel rejected God and deserted God, but they now have built up other gods to serve, and they're broken cisterns. Jesus flips over the tables in the temple. He cracks a whip and he drives these men out with a whip. Nicodemus, he gets in front of Nicodemus. Nicodemus has no idea what he's talking about. I've got to be born again. He's thinking physical. And then he goes to Samaria and he finds this woman at the well. And he's standing over this well and it's like, yep, that's a broken cistern. Yep, you're looking for water in all the wrong places. He essentially is saying to this woman, oh, you know about Jacob? You kind of half Jew and you know about this well? Man, that's great. You know who I am? The God of Israel, the God of Jeremiah. I'm the fountain of living waters and I'm standing right in front of you. She didn't know that verse. So Jesus shows up. Look at, here's a good one. Go back to the book of Job. And get chapter 15. Flip back in your Bible. Come to Job 15. Job 15. And then also get Isaiah 12. Job 15. And Isaiah chapter number 12. We'll do Job first. Bible says in verse 16 of Job 15. Man could have living water at any time. Jesus offers it. What we would rather drink, sinful mankind would rather just drink iniquity. And Job, it's a beautiful verse, verse 16, how much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water. We need to be reminded that the appetite of this world is for iniquity. They're very, 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 very thirsty, and they're continuing to drink iniquity and continuing to drink idolatry. And Jesus is the only living water that's going to satisfy them so that they don't desire that filthy, dirty, abominable water anymore. He's the one that satisfies our thirst. The question is asking people, what are you drinking? Job 15 or John 4? All right, let's look at Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12 and verse number 2. John 4, Jesus, he presents this invitation in verse 10, which is living water is presented as a gift of God. That's John 4. And so this offer of salvation, it's just extended to lost souls. That's John 4. Watch what Isaiah 12 is. Isaiah 12 describes the result. Watch what happens to those who actually receive this gift. Verse number 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. So if you have drank of the water that's freely given, that living water in John 4, if you've done that and you're saved, guess what you have? You have a well that you can continually draw from, and it'll never, ever, ever run dry. Praise the Lord. For the God of Isaiah and the God of John 4, it's the same God. an inexhaustible well of salvation. I hope you're drawing from it daily, by the way, not to get saved again, but to keep the joy of that salvation. And look, Isaiah 12, I know we've got Israel in mind here, but this God of salvation is our God of salvation. And this drawing from that well is an ongoing experience for all believers. Go back to John 4, if you would. It's why we want to point people to the living water. John chapter 4, verse 11, then saith unto him, or so the woman saith unto Jesus, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? John 2, the Jews. I'm going to destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'm going to rise it up again. They have no idea he's talking about his body. They think it's the literal temple. In John 3, Nicodemus, you must be born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, no clue what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about spiritual birth. Nicodemus thinks it's physical. John 4, Sir, verse 11, thou hast nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. You know what that Samaritan woman is thinking? Physical water. Thou hast nothing to draw with? Sir, Lord, well, she didn't call him Lord, Sir, you don't have a rope. You don't have a bucket. How in the world are we going to get water out of this? And then he says, look, verse 4:11, he says, the well is deep. What is she focused on? That natural depth of the well. Man, that well's deep. It's 50 foot. It's 100 foot. It's 150 foot. That well is just too deep. She doesn't understand that the spiritual well of God and His grace is a whole lot deeper. Standing right in front of living water. Why? Because she wants physical relief. And every time we come to somebody as a gospel witness, we can't lose sight of the fact that they are looking for physical relief. People have problems in their life. Can your church show me how to get rid of my problems? Google the 10 biggest problems that people have. I got 10 sermons for the next 10 weeks. People don't want the miracle worker, they want the miracle. People don't want Jesus, they just want somebody to take their problems away. I've been pastoring for 6.5 years. I don't want any more problems, and I don't want any problems for you. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to try to dismiss the truths of Jesus to avoid problems. Is anybody here signing up for problems tomorrow? Who wants to bet that that next week there's probably going to be some that come your way? You don't need 10 tips on how to get rid of that problem. What you need is a well that is so deep you can't exhaust it, and you need to draw from that well of Jesus Christ. Because human apparatus isn't going to work. And the heart of man is shallow, and God's well is deep. If you, honestly, right, brother? Honestly, if you come to me and say, well, Jimmy, I'm having problems. Here's the problem. My spouse this, my spouse that, my kids this, my kids that. And if you've ever come to me, you've known and said something like this. And if you haven't come to me and you do, I will say the same thing to you. I will say this. I cannot help you. I don't have 10 tips to help you. I don't. But I do have this book. And I believe that this book is right, and this book will correct all of us, and this book is where you can find truth and living water. And so instead of grasping at straws for 10 tips to help you with your problem, start reaching for Jesus. Get on your knees and pray. Ask God to help you. Ask God to change you. Receive the hard correction that I'll probably give you when you're doing something wrong if you ask me about a problem, and see if you can eat that and receive it. Amen. And that's how we grow. Nobody goes to the gym and says, "Oh, you're just working me too hard. Let's just have a soy salad and think like we're going to..." No. You're going to be challenged, and you're going to go home and your muscles are going to be sore. Jesus has got a really, really deep well. And I want real living water because I know my heart's shallow. Verse number 12. "Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" Well, yes. I'm greater than Moses. I'm greater than John the Baptist. I'm the greater miracle. I'm Jacob's ladder. So actually, yes. "Which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle." Man, that's great. I'm glad you know that Jacob's cattle got some water there. That's great. That's great. But you know what she's doing? She's doing what a lot of people do. They compare Jesus, or they compare their life to their dead ancestors. Well, my grandmother was, and my daddy was. And my parents were, and I can't rely on the faith of my parents. This woman can't rely on what Jacob's faith was, what Jacob did with his cattle. She's honoring the past. That's good. That's a great thing to do. But if we get so focused on what God did in the past, we're going to miss what God does in the present. Who wants to tell me what that is? That's called what? You live in the past. Everything you glean from is from the past. All of the things that we say and do are based on the past. And so she's thinking about Jacob and Jacob's cattle. What is that? Tradition. Tradition. It's great you remember that. But Jesus is standing right there. What are you going to do, woman of Samaria? We're in the present now. Let's deal with now. Let's live in the present. You can see Jesus saying, "Look, I understand Jacob gave you this well, but I'm here now. And I'm greater than Jacob. And I'm not just greater than Jacob. I'm the source of all the blessings that Jacob received." The well served Jacob fine, and his children, and the well served Jacob's cattle fine. But that's all physical provision. I'm here now, and I want to give you spiritual provision. Verse number 13, "Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." He ignores what this woman says and gets right to the right type of water. He's not talking about physical water. I'm talking about living water, and it's the gift of God, and you will never, ever, ever thirst. Now, that's a good place to just praise God on. Now, here's something good. Here's something. It's cool if you're on God's side. It's not cool, pun intended, if you're not on God's side. We're going to get a couple of verses. Well, let's just go to Revelation 22. I know you know this verse, but let's look at it together in the Bible. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Look at verse number 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Revelation 22, 17. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. You thirsty? Jesus says, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Wait. Let me read this differently. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life, period. Do you have freely there? Because if I said to you, let him take the water of life, you could kind of read that as if you're worthy. Yeah, go ahead, take it. You're worthy. Go ahead, take that water. You've worked hard enough for it. Go ahead and take that water. You've qualified it. Go ahead and take the water. Take the water. No, it says, let him take the water of life freely. In other words, you better not omit the word freely, and Satan doesn't want you to understand freely, because if you do understand freely, you won't think you have to earn your salvation. You won't be deceived by dead religion that's based on grace plus works. If you understand freely, you will never ever doubt the generous, gracious, loving heart of God. You'll never ever doubt that. You know who doubted that? Eve. Eve doubted that. In Genesis 2, God said to Adam, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. In Genesis 3, Eve says to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. She omitted freely. Why didn't she say, we may freely eat? Because she was deceived. Eve was deceived. She doubted God's word. I'm telling you, don't be deceived. Eternal life is a gift freely given. You can't earn it. The gift of God is eternal life. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of works. Why? Because if it was, you could boast. So the question is, will you take the water of life? Will you take it freely? Or will you reject it? And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirsteth come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. John 4, he says, the water that I shall give him. Man, it's hot. It's a perfect time for this verse or this chapter. We're in the midst of this heat wave. It's hot. You imagine a guy in a desert. He's thirsty. A water main burst and is gushing, and he's got water, fresh, clean water. It's all over in a day like today. There's no water except there. It's right there. He says, okay. Whew. He's going to pull out his wallet. Let me see if I have enough money that I owe for this water. Let me see if I can get downtown and pay my water bill first. I really shouldn't take it. He looks to his supervisor. Hey, are we allowed to take this water? They better make sure they take it out of my paycheck. Man, then he looks down at his dirty construction clothes, and he's like, you know, he's working out in the desert. He says, man, I'm just not worthy to take this water. I know I'm going to die of dehydration, but look at me. I'm so dirty, I'm so filthy, I'm a mess. I could never take this water. I'm not worthy of the water. Man, I'll tell you, you know, he's one of these fitness guys. He says, you know, I'm going to start doing some jumping jacks. I think I'll earn the right after this workout to get a drink of water. That's what I'll do. No. You just cup your hands, get under the water, and you start drinking it, and you live. And that's what Jesus says. When Jesus offers you living water, he doesn't want you to stand in front of him and pull out your wallet and say, well, let me see if I can pay you back for this, Lord. It's freely given. Therefore, should be freely received. And this woman is 3 feet away from living water, and she's not getting it. Not yet. Not yet. You know what dead religion is? People dying of spiritual thirst when they're standing right in front of the living water, right in front of Jesus Christ, and they're dying of spiritual thirst. So what do? We bring it to them. And we let them know, you can't earn it, you never will. You can't qualify it, but you need it, and you can't pay for it. It's freely given. The water that I shall give, it's freely given. Dead religion says, the water I must earn. Just drink. All right, two more spots and we're done. Two more stops. And to do this, we'll need Luke 16. And we'll close with this thought. We'll close with this thought. John 4 and Luke 16. I'm going to read John 4. If you can hold your spot at Luke 16, that would be great. John chapter 4, Jesus answered and said unto her in verse 13, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. I like never thirsting. Look at verse 7 for a second in John 4. Actually, if you're not there, you don't have to turn back there. But if you're there, look what it says. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Jesus asked this Samaritan woman for a drink of water. He never gets the drink of water that he asked that Samaritan woman for. That's one of two times that Jesus asked for water and he did not get it. Through the whole account of John chapter 4, we see Jesus asked this woman for water initially. He never got a drink of water. Instead, he got questions from this woman. Can I have a drink of water? Lord, how is it that thou being a Jew asketh drink of me? Can I have that drink of water? Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast living water? Can I have a drink of water? Oh, don't you know that Jacob's cattle drink here? She doesn't give him the water. She meets him with questions. He never got the water. By the time we get to John 19, Jesus is going to be on the cross. You know what he's going to say? I thirst. That's the second time in the Bible that Jesus asked for water and he doesn't get it. Instead, he got vinegar mingled with gall. I'll tell you, the Lord's really been having a hard time getting people that are in front of him to just do what he asked them to do. Can I have water? No, I'll give you some questions. Can I have water? No, here's vinegar. I'm dying on the cross. It's for your sins, by the way. And I'm kind of thirsty. Can I have some water? No. Things haven't changed. People don't want to obey what the Lord asks of them or tells them to do. And that's just an unchanging reality. And the Lord constantly faces that reality, even with us, His people. Just go on down the line of your life over the last month, over the last year, and you look back and you say, Lord, I wish I. Just don't bring that into the present. I hope in the present when the Lord says, hey, can I have some water, you got some water for Him. He asked you to do something, I pray that you would do it. You say, okay, so what in the world does that have to do? Then he says, I've got a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So what in the world does this have to do with going to Luke 16? Well, the water that Jesus offers is everlasting life, right? If you drink of that water, will you ever thirst ever again in your life, ever? Never, right? We all believe that. So if you offer it to someone and they take the living water, you can rightfully tell them from the Word of God, you will never, ever thirst again. Correct? Okay, so we got it. Go to Luke 16. Luke 16, verse 22. Towards the end of the verse, Luke 16, verse 22. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So if someone dies without the living water, they will be completely and entirely and for eternity asking for water, and they will never receive it. They're going to be in a place where they will never have their thirst quenched. And man has a double standard. The Lord can ask somebody for water and the Lord won't get it. And the same sinful men will end up in hell and ask for water as if they should expect to receive it. It's a double standard. Someone won't give the Lord water, but then they expect the Lord to give them water after for a lifetime he's offered them living water. And then they end up in hell. And one of the consequences is hell. It will be, you'll never be able to get a drink of water. It's going to be eternal torment of thirst. You think about how hot it is, how thirsty you get working out in the heat. Jesus doesn't want that. That's why in John 4 he says, just ask. Just receive. Just drink. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Don't reject Jesus and end up in a place where you will constantly be thirsty and it'll never be quenched. Just receive the living water today, and you will be satisfied forever. You will.